All right, yeah, we're going to skip a little bit and come back to some of the stuff we skip, but we're going to skip to the practical. There's a whole chapter or a whole section, section 3, so on page 338, is how to do Haggadah practically, meaning how do you kosher something by dipping it in boiling water. So one of the important practical aspects of that is a question that is fundamental to the entire concept of koshering with Haggadah, and it's a very interesting one. So we're going to cover that today. So we know that Haggadah works by expelling whatever is absorbed into the utensil. It expels it. Libun, we had a question, does it destroy whatever is absorbed, or does it also expel? But Haggadah for sure extracts, expels, it takes out the prohibited flavor. So let's just get the picture here. You have a spoon that you stirred your clam chowder with. Now you take that and you dip it into, let's say you don't kosher it, but you have, your neighbor gives that to you, who's cooking clam chowder with it. Oh, I have a new spoon. Okay, thanks. Forget to kosher it. Let's say you use it to stir your chicken soup. What happens to your chicken soup?
What's the timing? Is the timing important?
An hour later.
An hour later. So that means
it was clean.
Yeah.
It was clean. It's washed off.
That means if it hasn't been 24 hours, isn't it trafe what you stirred now?
Yeah. Why? Why does the chicken soup become trafe?
Stirred it with a trafe spoon.
Okay,
less than 24 hours.
But what exactly happens that makes a soup trafe?
Oh, transfer something?
Yeah.
The spoon?
Yeah, what gets transferred?
Transfers the clam chowder into the...
Yeah, the clam chowder flavor is going to leave the spoon and go into your chicken soup. And that's where the problem happens. Okay, so let's take case number three, or not case number three, maybe case number two. You take that spoon, clam chowder spoon, and you put it into a pot of boiling water. We call that Haggadah, right? So now what happens? What happens to the flavor?
It's not extracted.
Okay. It's extracted.
Okay.
Now where is it?
The spoon is now kosher.
Okay. Well, where's the flavor?
Oh, you think it's in the pot? I'm not worried about that. It's not extracted into the pot.
Well, okay. Well, before you get to the pot,
extracted into the water.
Okay. It's in the water, right?
Yes.
So you have clam chowder flavor in the water now. Okay. Is that so? So what happens now?
Pour out the water.
Okay, but before you get to do that,
spoons and other pots, you can still keep putting spoons and pots in there, even after the first spoon, even though you think the water is full of clam chowder, it's not a problem.
Okay, you're saying you could put another spoon into kosher?
Yeah, another spoon, another pot, anything you want in there.
But that doesn't that lobster flavor?
No.
Alex, is this not raising any questions for you?
Right, you're saying it sounds like, what's the difference by just a normal hot liquid? What do you want to say?
What's the difference in the chicken soup case, right?
The
lobster flavor, it made the soup trafe, it made the pot trafe. When it went into the chicken soup. When it goes into the pot of boiling water.
Hot too?
Yeah.
We're
not going into the details of how big your spoon was, how big the pot is, how much liquid, how much chicken soup. We're just assuming that there's enough there to So,
I was going to say somehow that it like destroys the flavor, which doesn't really seem right. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
I think that the clam chowder flavor goes into the water. It traipses up the water, traipses up the pot, and traipses up the spoon that you just koshered. Why doesn't it go back into the spoon?
What is hagala?
Hmm?
Hagala means I take something that's trafe and I put it into
boiling
water, and now it's a kosher, whatever, it comes out.
Right.
I don't think we're worried about the water.
Why
does hagala work?
Well, we said because it extracts.
It extracts, but it's still there. It still exists.
Only in the water. I don't even think it makes the pot trafe.
But the spoon's also in the water.
Yeah, I know, and it's extracted from the spoon.
But the water
goes back in.
No, it doesn't go back in. It can only go one way. It doesn't go two ways.
How come? Why not?
Extracting means it's gone. It's not a cliche here.
Okay, but if I dip the spoon, okay, how did it get? The clam chowder was hot, right? That's how. The clam chowder had flavor in it, and I put it into the spoon originally when I dipped it into the clam chowder pot.
Can I say it again?
How did the spoon become trafe?
It's been in clam chowder.
Right.
So now we get.
So how did that happen? Hot clam chowder puts flavor into a spoon.
Yeah.
So if you have water that has clam chowder flavor, it's extracted from the spoon, now it's in the water. Why can't that water, just like the clam chowder, put the flavor into the spoon? Well, it's just
both ways.
Why not? Well, how did it? But how did it get back? But
then hagala means nothing. Then you can't hagala.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem.
No, it's
that's
not.
The well. We have to. Well,
the solution is we get to put something that's trafe in boiling water, and it extracts it. Otherwise, it might as well do legal one every time.
Okay,
it destroys it.
It for sure extracts it, but the question is, and why doesn't it go back in? And why doesn't it chafe up the pot? And if you put another, you kosher another kli in there.
Yeah, I think you can.
Why doesn't it go into?
Kosher more than one kli.
So why doesn't it go into that second thing you put in that goes into clam? It has gets clam chowder flavor.
It never occurred.
Alex.
Also, normally, though,
well, it's a good thing you came tonight.
You would say that, if you have your tray spoon and you put it in your chicken soup, now your chicken soup is trafe. You go and put it in a different bowl of chicken soup, it's still trafe because the flavor. I'm saying at what point is the flavor like completely extracted? Like, again, it transmits flavor, but how do you take out the flavor? But I mean, like, we say if you put your spoon in the chicken soup, it puts flavor into the chicken soup. We're not like, oh, now the soup.
The clam chowder, you're talking about the clam chowder flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into the chicken soup, okay. So now what are you saying?
That, I mean, how do you take the flavor completely out of the spoon? Right, I mean, because normally you just transmit flavor, that's how it comes straight. But it's not like that after you transmit the flavor, now your spoon is completely fine, the flavor is gone.
Well, either what? Are you not talking about hagala right now?
No, I'm just adding on to what you're saying about hagala. That in any case, even if you want to say great, like now, like you're saying, the flavor is transmitted to the water, but it doesn't mean the flavor is completely gone from the spoon.
Well, if hagala works,
right? But why does it work that way? How do
well,
you know that
well, meaning you are you saying that it doesn't extract everything?
I'm just saying, like, what's the difference in a normal case by chicken soup? It doesn't extract everything.
Maybe by chicken soup it does, but it goes back in.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the same as hagala, chicken soup, maybe.
Maybe it does.
Okay, so this is the exact question of the Rishonim. We invested a lot of time in chewing on and appreciating the question, letting it soak in. Now we'll try to the answers. Some of them are simple, some of them are less simple, but we'll try to cover them all. We have limited time. Hikshu Rabbeinu Yitzchak. This is quoted by the Rashba. Rabbeinu Yitzchak is the Ri Hazaken from Tosfos. Ukli Midyan, Heich Hugalu. How did they, the whole parsha of kashering is in Parshas Matos. Perfect timing, perfect timing. The whole parsha of kashering is in Parshas Matos. So how did they, we're reviewing the re, and then we're getting the other answers. How did they kasher anything? Sharei lo asr Torah el kedei rabas yoma. We hold that anything more than 24 hours, you don't even have to kasher min haTorah. But the Torah is telling you have to kasher the clay midyan, all the spoils, the things that the midyanim were just using to roast their pork and cook their clam chowder 3 hours ago. Now they're bringing them into the camp to use with kosher food. And the Torah says to kasher them. Well, they're only saying to kasher, the Torah only says to kasher because it's ben yoma. Okay, umashihi poleta shevach, whatever the kli is going to expel when you use it to cook chicken soup in the camp, right, when you use those kalim, it's going to put the clam chowder flavor. It's good. It's still good flavor. It didn't spoil yet. Ukeshem shapolate mashahai besocho, just as it expels that which was in it, meaning when you're kashering it, it goes back and absorbs whatever's in the water outside. Right. So this is exactly our question here. Okay. So now he gives a possible answer that he rejects. The Efsha Lomar Shakli Eno Choser Uboleya Mima Shechutzalo Ella Mashalo Poladhu. Maybe when you stick a spoon into Hagala water, into hot boiling water, yeah, it absorbs things. If you have a kosher flavor, let's say, or any flavor in that water, it's going to absorb it. But it only absorbs things that it didn't expel. Something it expelled, the clam chowder flavor that just left that spoon, it won't take that back in. It'll take other things in, right? Because we said, how did it become treif in the first place? You stuck it into a pot of clam chowder. So, but that's only things that it didn't just expel. Things that it did just expel, it's not going to absorb. Well, Masha Palahu, Eno Choser Balea, whatever it expelled, it's not going to take back. So why does he reject that? So in my terms, there's no microchip on the spoon. There's no brain in the spoon to tell it what to absorb and what not to absorb. But he says it in a different thing. She'ein ha'kli navi livor masha palahu mitoch masha balea. The kli is not a prophet to be able to discern and differentiate between things that it just expelled and flavors it did not expel. Either it absorbs everything that's in the water, or it absorbs nothing that's in the water. How can you do hagal on two kalim together? If this is what the reasoning is, that it doesn't reabsorb whatever it spit out, because then you'll have one spoon that used the clam chowder, and another spoon that you used maybe also with clam chowder, or maybe with some other tray food. And it's going to expel. They're both going to expel. They're both going to absorb the other one. Sharei bolea zeh, mashapalat zeh. This one's going to absorb what the other one kicked out. Okay, Parash Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Now we're on the left. We're going to the left paragraph. So the re-explained, she'ein magilin liolam. So he, this question, he takes the premise of this question all the way. He says, absolutely, if you take a treif thing, an hour after it was used for treif, and you do hagala on it, it doesn't work. It goes right back in. So what does he say? How does hagala work? You have to do one of two methods. You're doing hagala in a kli that's already kosher, the pot. There has to be 60 times the volume of the spoon that you're kashering. So mishum dekamalon de bedidei misharinan demand enoughak mine lo yadina, meaning how much flavor does the spoon absorb when you put in the clam chowder? You measure that by the volume of the spoon. You don't measure it by the volume of the clam chowder. It can hold more than the actual volume of the spoon. So 60 times volume of the spoon are in the pot. V'kivan shehei b'mayim shishim k'neged kol hakli. Since you have 60 times the volume of the spoon, haray kol pleitas hakli b'teila b'hen. Therefore, all of the absorptions, even if absorbed the maximum amount and the whole spoon is full of clam chowder flavor, it's all going to be nullified in the water. So therefore, whenever you're koshering, you can only kosher if you've got 60 times the amount of water, then the kli you're koshering. So what does this mean? If you have a gigantic, this is good if you have a small spoon, you kosher it in a big pot with lots of water. But what if you want to kosher a big pot? You're going to have to get a gigantic pot to kosher it. So he says, Ukle Midian, Lohugalu, in Midian they didn't have any big kalim. How did they kosher the big kalim for Midian?
According to this mahalach, would the additional, meaning if you have a pot exactly 60 times of a spoon, you have a spoon very slightly larger, put in the spoon, take it out, now there's whatever additional that's bottle, put in the next spoon. The original water, there is not enough bottle of shishim. It's slightly less than that. However, with whatever was now added, would that...
Wait, there was shishim for
the first one.
For the first one, right.
The second one was shishim.
For the second one, right.
But now there is.
Why is there now?
Because you have an additional bottle digger.
The iser is now in there?
Yeah.
It's bottle.
But does the bottle add up?
Okay, yeah, I think it adds up. That's a good question. It's discussed. I don't remember where. Yeah, it's a good question. I think it adds up. Ella kalim katanim b'sol kalim gedolim she b'mayim shehaya b'mayim shishim kenegim. So they only, and when they came back from Midian, they had to use big. They could only do a small kli and a big kli, which is a very difficult ukimta. It's a very difficult. It's a bit far-fetched to say that there was this very specific requirement when they came back from Midian. I mean, it could be, but that's what you have to say. Okay, now, that's answer number one. Answer number two, and these are the two most important answers. The other ones we'll go through more quickly. V'kein efsher o l'hagil kli she'eno ben yomo. If the kli is not ben yomo, and the tam is spoiled, and you could also kasher uva kli iser. You could also use a treif pot to kasher it, as long as vuhu shaloyeh ben yomo. And as long as that's not ben yomo, then and you don't have to worry how much water is in the pot. It could even, as long as you have enough to kasher with, you don't have to, because you don't have to nullify anything because the flavor is already spoiled. So once it's going into the water, I don't care if it goes back into the kli; it's spoiled flavor. It doesn't treif up the kli again. You got that, Alex? So we got two approaches here. The only way to do Haggalah is either to have 60 times the water or to have the kli not be ben yomo and the flavor spoiled. Now there is a very important question. So it does go back in, but it's spoiled. There's a basic question on this, but we have to leave it if you get it. You can look. It's that last paragraph. Okay, a fascinating answer here is the Ramban. If you look on the left, it's the Bet HaKabayis, the Ra'ah, who is a Talmud of the Ramban. He says, "V'anachon bazeh kmo sheperash mori Rabbeinu Moshe," means Rabbeinu Moshe ben Nachman, "demayim bekelim mafliten umamrikin hakli." The Einon Mavliim. So water has a magical property that it extracts the flavor from the clam chowder spoon, but it doesn't push it back into the spoon. It's like a sponge, it absorbs it and keeps it. It holds it. Behind it the it's a one-way street. V'hainu demrinim b'sifri le'inin hagala. This is what the halachic medrash Sifri says. B'mayim b'lo b'yayin b'lo b'chalav. You can't use, you have to use water to do alkola. You can't use wine, you can't use milk, veloba sharmashkin, you can't use any other liquids. You can't use orange juice. Why? Because if you use orange juice, the flavor of your clam chowder is going to go into the orange juice, and it's going to go right back into the spoon. The same with wine, the same with milk. It'll extract the flavor, but it'll go right back in. Water, however, extracts, but does not put it back in.
Chicken soup?
Chicken soup is the same. It's a good question. What exactly is sharmashkin? Because chicken soup is basically water with some other stuff added in.
Already extracted. Already extracted something. It extracted the flavor of the chicken.
Right.
So would the fact that there's already extraction...
Right.
And if chicken soup's no good, so then how can I do two things at once? It already extracted a flavor of whatever of the first kli. Now when I put in the second kli, it's considered water, which extracted already.
That's a good point.
No, it's water. It just extracts it. No, it's extracts.
But if chicken soup doesn't work, I can ask you a question.
It's a good question. Yeah, we have to think about that. We have to think about how that would be. So now, let's see the Ritva real quick on the right. He's just explaining the Ramban. So according to Ramban, you can, if you have a clam chowder spoon, you don't have to have 60 times the water. Doesn't matter. You don't have to wait for it to be ben yomo. You just have to kosher it in water. And then you don't have to worry about the isser going back in. Says the Ritva, l'fisha yada Torah shezeo tivon shamayim. Since the Torah knows this is the nature of water, this is how water works. Amra Torah lahagil kli b'mayim u'lahakshir. This is, it said you do a golan with water and then it works. Afilu yor gedola shel kli midyan bas yoma al yedei atzma. Even if you have a big pot that came from Midyan, you could just boil water in it and it's kosher because the water is going to extract everything and hold on to it. You can even do something that was just used an hour ago. Of course, I have to clean it. Now go skip down two lines. You can't kasher a lot of kalim together. The water can extract and hold on to stuff, but it has a limit. There's a threshold. So if you do hagol on 500 kalim in the same water, then it's not going to be able to do it anymore. Ad shetavor tzuras hamayim, it'll lose its nature as water. V'yisbatel kochan v'tivon zeh, and this power and nature will be ruined. Uliolam, and therefore kol sheyaschilu hamayim v'yisbatel kochan, whenever the water, it's you do too much koshering in it, lavrit tzuras, and it doesn't, like it loses its, it gets dirty, and you tell it's not pure water anymore. Shuvei magilim, and you can't do a gol in them anymore because it's not gonna hold. It's gonna just put it back into the kli. Okay, now go look at five lines from the bottom. In the middle, the cuss of od zal. Even though this opinion, the Ramban's opinion, is how do you prove that water can only absorb, it doesn't spit back in, it doesn't put it back in. It's like it's a magic force that we can't really test. It's giving us unusual power to water. He said, it doesn't matter, but the whole question is so strong that we have no alternative, which kind of, David, is kind of like what you were saying. We have no alternative but to say that water just works this way magically. The Ritva is talking about the Ra'ah. He paskin this way. You take a kli that's ben yomo, you don't need shishim, you kasher it in water, it's fine. Some disagree. There was a very big battle about if this you can rely on this. Therefore, you should be strict. Okay, we're going to see two more eitzas, and we don't have time to see halakha l'maisa. I'll just tell it to you. So look at the Gemara on the left here. It's in Chulin, Kuf Chesam Abeis. So it says, El Yolam Kasav Arav, Chalav Nami Aser. Milk cooked in meat is also prohibited. Meaning, you have a pot of milk and you drop a piece of meat, a little chunk of meat, you dropped it into the boiling pot of milk. He doesn't osser the milk. You have a chunk of steak in your pot of milk. It does not osser the milk. Why not? The meat is osser. It absorbs the milk. So the Gemara says, "Kigon shenafel l'soch yoro resachas." It fell into a pot of boiling milk. The mivla bala, the meat absorbs the milk. Mifla lo palat, the milk that it absorbed into the meat and now has meat flavor in it, it doesn't expel. It just absorbs, it doesn't expel. Something that is in a boiling hot pot, it absorbs and doesn't expel. The Gemara says, oh, it's going to cool down and then it's going to expel whatever trafe milk that's now in the meat. It's going to go back into the rest of the milk. Says the Gemara, Kishakata Masilko, it's talking about a case. You know why he says that milk is still okay? Because you took it out before the boiling stopped. So based on this, Tosfos says, you go on page 2, it's on the left-hand column. So there's a new answer to the question. How do you do hagala on a clam chowder spoon? Oh, it's going to go, the flavor is going into the water, it's going to go back into your spoon. It's ben yomo. So you don't have 60. Does that work? You put them in the hot water, kishen roskin, when the water is boiling. Oh, it's the same as the milk that absorbed into the meat. As long as the water is still boiling, it'll absorb whatever trafe clam chowder flavor came out of the spoon, but that water is not going to spit it back out. If you let the water get cooler, it will spit it back out. But if you put the spoon in to kosher it, while the water, because we're focusing on the water here, the water is extracting the tarfus, and now, so it can't put it into the spoon. So this is another answer to our question, is that the water only absorbs in a one way, it can only do one at a time. It can only do one at a time. And finally, those are the main three answers we've shown him. The final thing is the Chazon Ish. He says, do we have a minion?
Yes.
Okay. The Chazon Ish says that if you have something, a disgusting flavor in the water that you're koshering in, that whatever clam chowder flavor comes out of the spoon and goes into the water, it's going to be nifgam. Like, let's say there's bleach in the water. So then, even if it's ben yomo, even if it's not shishim, the flavor is going to be ruined, and therefore, even when it goes back into the spoon, it's not going to make a trafe because it's already disgusting flavor. So halacha l'maisa, huh?
It's an instant
ina ben yomo. So halacha l'maisa, we rely on that, but we also rely. The main thing is that it shouldn't be ben yomo. That's this is the reason why you don't do hagol on a ben yomo plea.
Soap
is good. Yeah, you could use soap. Yeah.